Welcome to the Wire to Wire podcast. As always, it's me, your host, Yusuf. Now, I have a real interesting episode for you guys today. In this episode, I'm joined by Maxwell Drutt. He is an e-commerce expert and entrepreneur, and he is also the founder of LiveCom. In this episode, we discuss entrepreneurship, the importance of e-commerce, and how e-commerce can help businesses grow. And we also discuss his journey navigating the world of business. Now, this is definitely an exciting episode, so be sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and leave a comment below on your thoughts. You can also share the video with your family or friends. Send it to everybody you know. Now, without further ado, let's just get right to it. Okay, Maxwell, welcome to the Wire to Wire podcast.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me, guys. So it's a pleasure.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. So let's kind of go back to your origin story, let's say. So tell the audience a little bit about yourself, and then how did you get started into what you currently do now?
So goes a bit back, I guess, to high school times, you know, and my first sort of foray with this whole thing was drop shipping, funny enough, but drop shipping wasn't really a word, you know. This is like, you know, 2012 or something like that, a little bit earlier even. And I knowingly, you know, sort of stumbled upon Shopify. I was like, wow, this is a really sick platform, you know, and started essentially doing these like USB business cards. You can literally print, you know, I was thinking like, oh, this would be great for like ebook publishers and music artists, you know, so they can like upload all of their, you know, content onto this USB drive. And it's literally shaped like a credit card, right? So you can like hop onto this website, right? I got like a dev, I forgot even where I got them, to do this like widget for me. So you can upload an image, preview it, see how it looks, and then put in this like custom order, you know. I was doing like made to order essentially stuff, and you know, literally just like posting through like Reddit and just, you know, just not really knowing what I'm doing, but just doing stuff. And yeah, ended up like it kind of turned into B2B, and this will make sense later, but I unknowingly started, you know, doing B2B sales with that. I ended up closing like Sylvan Learning Centers. And if nobody knows that, but that's like similar like Kumon, you know, Kumon Learning Centers, but they have like, you know, 500 locations. And I'm this like high school kid that has no idea what he's doing. So they put in this giant order of these USB credit cards. So I'm like sitting, you know, emailing. I remember the factory person's name was Amy, I remember. And she had like the most broken ass English. And it was just such a nightmare fulfilling this order. I didn't have the upfront cash. It was like, you know, how to get it, like finesse it almost to get a half on credit, you know, it was a whole thing. And but I ended up like filling that, and you know, college came around, and me and my partner at the time kind of split our ways. But that was sort of the first time where, you know, I really made money online. I was like, wow, like this is super cool, you know, that really anybody can honestly do it at the end of the day. So at that point, definitely caught like the entrepreneurial bug, I would say. And you know, obviously my parents, they're Russian. So they're like, you know, you got to be a doctor or like a lawyer or something. So there I am sitting, you know, pre-med studying like biochem. it's not a great time, I would say. You know, biochem is a nightmare. My college roommate at the time, he was also like a little bit nuts. And we were like, you know, we were literally asking each other for small little favors, basically. And Venmo just came around. Venmo just started, and we would literally tip each other like $5 to like go to the food hall and get me a slice of pizza, like $5, right? And we would literally bounce each other like that on like certain little tasks, you know. And we were like, you know what, like this could be a potential like a business around it, you know, like kind of like legitimized Craigslist almost, where like you put in a task right through an app. And, you know, people essentially bid on this task, right? You put it out a bounty, like, hey, clean my room for like $20, you know? And, you know, we sort of started like running with that idea, ended up literally spring up a landing page, you know, and getting like an MVP going, basically. And doing, you know, everything that you'd think should be in a business, like drawing up a giant business plan and doing all these things that are, looking back at it, were a little bit important to strategize in the beginning, but not you don't need like a 50 page business plan to just get started with something, so waste a lot of time like doing random stuff that didn't really translate to like getting customers, get paying users. And anyway, we ended up like scaling up that business. It's like a food delivery app, right? Ended up like being listed 100th on the app store for the category. So ran a food delivery app for like the 3-4 years. We raised a little bit of capital and ended up being like a really, really shitty business with really shitty unit economics. And that was my little foray with food delivery. We ended up pivoting, getting acquired for, again, B2B, and now I'm doing video commerce. So sort of high level, I guess.
Yeah, so that's interesting. I mean, yeah, because I always find like, especially with business, it's very unpredictable, right? So you may just start like with one particular idea, but then it just naturally morphs itself into something else. Before you know it, you're in a completely different field than what you started in.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The original idea, the original landing page is going to be probably completely different than, what you'll end up like a year or two later. And this is a kind of a fact with everything. Like if you go to like the Wayback Machine, for example, and look at like Uber's first landing page or Snapchat's or really anybody, Dropbox, et cetera. And all this is online, right? There's records. You can easily pull it up. It's crazy how like completely different it is now, because it takes a constant iteration and really like listen to customers to, build something out. So, yeah.
So along your journey, what were some of the struggles and challenges that you faced, whether it's early on or even currently, but like, what were those struggles and obstacles? And then how did you manage to overcome them?
Well, I would say, the road is definitely lonely. That's something that people don't realize, that, the overnight successes take years, I would say. And I'm not by any means like anywhere close to there. I'm still pretty early in my career, I would say. But it's such like a long and sometimes very, miserable process, to say the least, because like, pre-product market fit, especially, when, and again, it depends on like the business that you're building at the end of the day. But if you have like a product that you're building, right, and it's pre-product market fit, and you're constantly sitting and you're like, and you fall under the like the one more feature mentality, for example, right, it can be like extremely draining. Like you'd spend, let's say, a month or two iterating on something, right, pushing it out to the market, and crickets, right? No, nobody gives a shit. And then you're constantly stuck in this like, hey, like one more feature would do it. One more feature would do it. And the problem sort of stems even from the get-go, from the start, on not pinpointing the problem that you're solving, so that's like a very key thing, is to not be like a solution in search of a problem, but like the other way around. You really pinpoint, and that's, it sounds like very, I guess, like intuitive, but a lot of people like don't really think about that. It's like, first focus on the problem that you're solving, and then, go talk to those people that actually have that problem, get all that valuable insight, and then go start building something, like not the way around. And people are like, oh yeah, like I have, this great idea. Like they're just ideas, it's all about like really execution. Execution is hard to do right, So that's like the biggest probably takeaways, from the get-go. And then the second being is like team, highly important, like having a co-founder when you're going through the quote unquote like trough of death of, pre-product market fit, it definitely helps like having someone, because it's such like an up and down game. You can be like on top of the world, and then the same exact day, like literally crying in a corner. Like that could happen. Okay. So having a co-founder and somebody that really like complements your skill set is extremely important. And I know that's like one-on-one advice, I feel like, but it's overlooked. Like you can't just build a business with anybody. People are at the end of the day like different, and you have to really gel with somebody to really build something special.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think to kind of add on to the point that you're making too, is what you said there is very important. It's the, like you said, the complement of the skill set. So
definitely
one person's more good with like let's just say like the engineering side of things, but they're not good with the sales, then working with someone that can help with the sales aspect, right? And also too, I just think time, like if you are doing everything on your own, like eventually it's going to be like there's so much to do that it's just not feasible to do everything by yourself.
Oh yeah.
So you're either going to fall behind on things, or the quality won't be as good because you're trying to do too much.
Oh yeah.
So
You
I
just like
think,
spread yourself way too thin, honestly. Yeah.
yeah.
And you have to wear all the hats in the beginning, you know. So there's definitely, you know, I think Paul Graham or I'm pretty sure says this, but it's like 20% of your input is usually 80% of your output, right? So like the 20% of the things that you're working on are actually producing like 80% of your results, right? And you have to like really figure out what those 20% are and start doubling down on those like 20% things, basically.
Yeah, I agree with that. And
Hey, Paul Graham, man. Shout out
yeah.
to him.
What are some other people that kind of, I guess, inspire you or motivate you when it comes to, dealing with business and maintaining that mindset of consistency?
Honestly, I think there's, you know, like three groups of people that you should be kind of speaking to. And the main being, you know, somebody that's already done what you're trying to do, right? And you know, when people think like mentor, they think it's like, oh, it's like this is a crazy guy. Like, no, it's literally somebody that did something similar or along the path of what you're trying to achieve, because it's just, you know, they've been there, they can give you the awesome advice, you know. Like, you know, one of my partner, my co-founder, Kevin Gould, he's, you know, he used to be in the talent management space, right? He used to like manage Jake Paul, for example. So, you know, like people like that. And then he, you know, co-founded two pretty big D2C brands called Glamnetic and INH. You know, both businesses are absolutely killing it, within the D2C like space in the community. So he's really extremely like knowledge. A, he's built, you know, multiple businesses they're doing like 50 mil plus, for example, right? So checks off one of the boxes, right? Done, you know, scale the business like profitably, or you know, I don't want to get into that. That's his thing. But B, you know, has all the relevant connections like within the e-com space, right? So he already knows the people, he knows, you know, the marketing side really well, understands how like businesses are thinking. So, you know, on my side, for example, the current business that I'm working on is a Shopify video platform, right? It's a plug and play video stack for Shopify brands. And that's how it makes sense to be asking the person that's, you know, been within the space, has multiple brands that we're selling into, right? We're selling into the same market. So he's got the knowledge of, you know, hey, like this is how they're making decisions, you know, this is what they're looking at. Et cetera, et cetera. So this is just like one example of a person that's, you know, done something relevant within the same space. That's one way of obviously doing it. Your peers is another awesome group of people to be constantly be talking to, right? Like other founders within the space, because like when you're building something together, that's extremely valuable in terms of feedback, right? Like they're honestly going through the same stuff you're going through, right? You're trying to like build something, trying to make it. And then, you know, the third group would be like, you know, people that are just starting out, if you're like midway through the journey, because you can also get that perspective of, you know, this is how like, you know, you can get a lot of different perspective basically of people like just starting out. So it's like three buckets of people.
Yeah, those are some I agree with you on those points. I think you touched on some pretty important things, especially the getting the advice from people who have done it before,
100%.
because
Yeah.
they have that experience, right? But I'm glad you mentioned your business. So actually I want to switch gears a little bit and I want to get more into that and the work that you do. So what is LiveCom and how does it work? And how would businesses benefit from using it?
Totally. So to put it short, you know, Live is a plug and play video stack for Shopify brands, right? So essentially what we did is we made video extremely easy for brands. Like when it just started out, right? Obviously pandemic happened, so we're a pandemic brand, and I was PMing at the time at a D2C brand, right? So we had five retail locations, you know, doing pretty well. And there's always a huge disconnect between like retail and e-com, right? Like conversions at retail, like 20%, right? E-com 1.5% at best, 2%, like you're absolutely killing it basically. So, I was constantly obsessed and like, hey, like, why is this the case? And, when pandemic hits, we closed down all the stores and we started like streaming on IG, just doing like Instagram lives. And it resonated extremely well, right? Like customers loved it. It was great. It was super engaging, right? But there was a huge disconnect between brand, obviously, right? IG owns the user, all the data, right? There's no like simple way of checkout. There's just a bunch of different problems, right? And I tried finding a solution out there and like nothing existed essentially. And built up an MVP, started really iterating and again, like talking to customers and really understanding like what the major pain points are. And I soon realized that, a lot of the content that we're currently consuming is, short form video based. So shorts, right? And you have like all the socials basically pushing these heavily. So I was like, why isn't like e-com using short form video like on their stores? Like sometimes you'll see like a YouTube embed, right? And it'll be like super janky looking and it'll play an ad maybe even sometimes for you. And it's just like not a good brand experience. And like what value is the brand getting of they don't know how well it's performing on there, that you don't really get much. So I really saw a gap in the market where like there's nothing that's built that's a video platform from an e-com perspective, right? Like video is so valuable, it's so engaging. Why aren't like e-com stores using more video, And it turned out to be true. Like we, obviously listened to feedback, started doing a lot of testing, and now it's essentially a full-fledged like plug and play video stack that essentially creates like a social app experience directly on your store.
That's actually very interesting because as you were speaking, like in my head, I'm trying to think, is there companies that do that? And I couldn't really come up with
There
any.
is not.
Yeah, so I
I
think.
mean, we have a competitor or two for sure. We're not the smartest in the bunch, like, but there's like everything that's out there is not from an e-com standpoint. It's all built for consumption, right? Same with the TikTok IG. We go there to consume content, not to really buy things. And in general, e-com itself is extremely transactional, right? If you really think about it, like Amazon just absolutely kind of screwed it all up in the beginning. Can't blame them, but it's extremely transactional, right? You don't really go shopping online, right? Sure, you have like those impulses, or maybe you have a brand that you really love, whatever. But most of the time, it's extremely transactional. So we're really trying to change that, and bring shopping to e-commerce as if like you're literally walking to a store and, instead of a person greeting, it's all video based, obviously. But we do actually have a feature where you can FaceTime with a product expert directly on site and actually go through this FaceTime experience and shop directly with them. So yeah, I think video is going to be huge in the next like 5, 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool if you can like actually, because a lot of times like people like to go to stores just to have that interaction with someone so they can learn certain things, right? If
Exactly.
it's something that can be offered like virtually, then yeah,
It can.
that changes the game, right?
It can now for
Yeah.
sure. Check out LiveCom.
And then one thing that you said in your answer actually that I kind of want to discuss is that you said when you're using social media, you don't really own any of the data or anything. Like it's their information, it's their data, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I actually had a chance to check out your website, and one of the, I guess, if I'm correct, you can, if I'm not correct, you can correct me on this. But one of your core principles is that you discuss the importance of like owning your social media channel and hosting it on your website. So I was just wondering if you could elaborate more on the idea or the thinking behind that.
I think A, like community building, like true community building, right? Like and a lot of like even brands are starting to do this. They have their own like Slack groups or they have their own Discord, right? So we're already seeing this like of community building that's like off platform because like you can be like a brand and be like, hey, like we have 500K followers on IG. We have a great community, right? That doesn't mean like you have a good community. You just have a bunch of followers on IG, right? It's a metric. So I think there needs to be a way for a brand to create that community experience on site, right? I think like I don't want a brand to be, frankly, I think, and every brand would say the same, I feel like, but you don't want to be like a slave to the algorithm, essentially, right? Like, and we're already seeing this, like, iOS flipped the switch, on 14, and bam, like we can't retarget ads anymore. And it's just like a nightmare in terms of acquisition and pumping these ads, right? Like you're literally a slave to the algorithm, essentially, right? Whenever they make that change, who knows what's good, what it's going to be like in 5 years from now, right? So essentially with Live, like the long-term vision of it really is to like democratize the social platform, like algo, right? And give a brand its own algo, right, on its own site, so that they're, you can really personalize the experience with video based on, people coming back, and you already know their behavior, essentially, right? That's like the long tail of it. It's to really have, to really enable the brand to like be able to truly like personalize that experience and like own all of that, so like from, email, phone number, et cetera, you can build out this list, build out this following, right? Even have like a follower count maybe on your site, right? And those like true followers that really, love your brand and want to engage and you want to build out the community, you can just do it on site versus taking them somewhere else, like a Facebook group or something like that, right? So that's kind of the idea there.
Yeah, because that's a good point you said, because like how much times do you see like on Instagram where someone will say, "Oh, my main page got deleted, we'll follow my backup," right?
Exactly. It's like you're so they can do whatever they want, and we like there's con there this is con happening constantly. We have some of our clients getting accounts like deleted and stuff. Like, I mean, it's a nightmare, so I think if you truly own all of that, it's just such a major win, and it creates a better experience for the consumer too at the end of the day, like, in terms of like seeing the right content at the right time, when you want it. I think that's key. And IG and TikTok, et cetera, like they're just attention harvesting, right? They want you to stay within their sort of walled garden. They don't want you leaving anywhere. And we're trying to change that,
Yeah, so like from my interpretation understanding, it's kind of like you're taking having like your own mailing list, but it's completely much more personalized. It's like a level further, right? Because you're tying it into like the e-com, there's the e-commerce aspect, and there's that direct to consumer that you don't get from having just a standard mailing list. So it's kind of taking that, it's a more personalized experience. Am I correct in my?
No, that's exactly right. It's like, if you're, for example, with our stack, you can host live stream shopping events like directly on the site, so you can literally host a live, right? A bunch of people hop in, you're directly on their website, et cetera. And post that, we actually have this like channel page basically where all of their past lives automatically populate as they're doing them. And you can RSVP for the upcoming ones, right? So yeah, exactly. So once you RSVP, we actually take that data and we segment it out within like a CRM, like a Klaviyo, for example, right? A lot of e-com brands use Klaviyo for email marketing and segmentation. So we cr create that specific customer segment. So each time the brand does go live, right, that user's getting that, awesome content of like having a live social experience directly on site, so it's awesome for like product drops. They have like guests, it's like really fun and engaging, but it has a shopping element to it, so you can, check out directly right then and there, like without leaving the live stream, right? And it's just like an overall good time. You can ask questions, get them answered right then and there. Like, we had like a drop, a brand do a drop the other day, and people were asking like, hey, like what's the return policy on this, right? And you're answering to like hundreds of people at the same time on this live, and if that one person had that question, probably 30 or 50 others had that same question, and you're just like answering right then and there. I think that's like a magical experience, for a consumer.
Yeah, and on that note, I do also want to touch on something else that I saw like when I was browsing through your website. So it says enable a 38% add to cart rate with live stream shopping and shoppable video for your Shopify store. So when a client or a business is working with LiveCom, right? How are you like how like what is in place for you guys to be able to deliver that?
What is in play? What do you
Yeah,
mean?
like, yeah, so how are you guys able to like actually like a deliver on that?
Well, look, Those are averages for sure,
Yeah.
right? But the data speaks for itself at the end of the day. On 35% add to cart rate, we've seen 25% conversion rates off of stream. Forget about add to cart, right? I'm talking straight conversion, like 100 viewers, 25 check out. So those are deflated metrics, I would say, that are on the site. But in terms of actually delivering, during onboarding, we do have like a pretty extended free trial, right? We let them test, we walk through the data, we really like we have our playbooks, we know what works, we know what doesn't work, right? In terms of like content and really how to position this, whether it be UGC style content that's like shoppable video embedding or actually hosting like a live, right, et cetera. So we really set you up for success at the end of the day. And I think that's key. Like a product is not just like the actual stack, like it's not the actual tech, right? The product starts literally from discovery when your customer actually first saw your brand, whether it be like the email, right? Or whether it be an ad that they saw, right? That's all part of your product, all the way up until like, following through and making sure they're successful with what they're doing with the products, right? So like account managing and client success, right? Support, et cetera. So we really, we really set you up for success at the end of the day, but it really is, there's a lot of data also that we're plugging in. So you're actually able to track ROI, you're able to see like how well these are performing, et cetera. So from a business case, all the data is there to make that case, and most of the time we're seeing like a 10x ROI anyways, because just the way we price things. So we just set them up for success. That's all it takes,
Yeah, and I think it's good because I think, especially within the past couple of years, a lot of businesses seen the importance of, making that shift to online. But many of that, it's still a relatively new phenomenon for some businesses.
Oh, this
So,
is so early. This is
yeah.
so early. Like e-com this, e-com that. It's only 20% of sales in the US. The rest is all retail,
Yeah.
It's still very early. Just in e-com in general, I think it's extremely early. But 5 years from now, I think it'll be 50-50, if not more, because it's not just like the ease of shopping. You also have to keep in mind like the logistical infrastructure of actually delivering the stuff, right? And making it extremely efficient. So there needs to be a few industries that really amp it up for this for e-com to like absolutely blow up. So we're still a bit there, but yeah, it's extremely early.
Yeah, but I think it's good that a business like yours is there and in place. So as more like brands and businesses are ready to adopt, you can at least kind of guide them and make it as seamless as possible while also giving them a pretty good return on their investment into it, right?
Oh yeah, that's all
So
it's about. The
yeah.
ROI, that is definitely all it's about.
Yeah. So this segment of the podcast, I like to call this open floor. So basically, it's like a play on term. It's like a play on words in sports where someone's on a fast break. They have the open
I see
floor.
the reference. Go
Yeah.
back to your roots, yeah.
So in this case here, so you have free uninterrupted time. If there's anything that you want to share, if there's any additional detail that you want to provide to the audience, is there anything that you would like to communicate?
Just grind, honestly. You just gotta grind this out. That's literally what it takes. So it's like being a cockroach and just surviving. Like your main goal, I think, as is just like an entrepreneur, if you're running a startup, is just to make sure you never die. That's like the key of this whole thing, is just to make sure you don't die. 90% of like businesses fail within whatever the stat is. I don't even know, but a lot of them fail. And the reason why is because the founder stopped working on it. That's why it failed. So just don't stop, whatever you're doing, like, just keep running through bricks. Life will just keep hitting you, but that's the whole fun of it, enjoying that process. And you come out stronger at the end of the day. So just keep on grinding.
Yeah, I agree with 110% with that. Like it's only your output will be your input, right?
Oh, yeah.
So as much as you put into it, that's what you're going to get out of it, right? And earlier actually did say something that it takes years to actually get to where you want to get to. So it's just like you said, yeah, it's just showing up every day and just doing the work. And then gradually, that work will compound into something, right? So.
Exactly. Even if you don't want to, actually, I have a note like on my wall. That's the only thing. I have blank walls. I just have one thing hung up on the wall and literally says, "Do the shit you don't want to do," literally. Because a lot of the things, sometimes there will be days where you're just like, "Oh, like I really don't want to do this," but those are the days that really make a difference, so for sure.
And even if it's just something like minor, as long as you're doing something,
Yeah,
like doing.
compound
Yeah,
interest, man.
exactly.
I feel like people don't really understand like how compound. It's hard to like visualize compounding, but it has, I mean, powers of magnitude, just like compounding interest, just 1% better every day. Like in the long run, oh my God, you're a
Yes.
killer.
And I think part of that is like the reason why there's that lack of understanding and why like having conversations like this is important is because like if you look at the media, right, or you read like these articles, it makes it come off like the person just walked into that success, had this idea and it just happened, and they don't tell you the actual details, even
Because
like.
we're seeing the highlight reels, guys. It's the highlight reels, That's all it is. I know it's crazy. Hey, Figma just got acquired today for $20 billion, Crazy. Adobe just picked them up. And you would think, like, oh, overnight, like, no, it took them years and years of grinding that out since like 2012 or something.
Yeah,
Or yeah.
and it's crazy because I heard of Figma, I think like a few years ago when I was doing like a course on like a user like user experience.
UX, yeah.
Yeah, so like
Yeah.
Figma was one of the apps that we used, and I was just hearing of
There
them,
you
but they've been around years prior to that.
Years
So
since
it's like.
2012. Yeah. 10 years. It took him 10 years to do that. But and even that, like I know people are, we're talking to the founder, and it's like, why would you go into a market that's already fixed? There's already so many design tools, right? There's Adobe. I mean, there's a reason why they got picked up by Adobe, but a lot of people were doing design like Sketch, right? There was available tools on there, and Figma just, they don't listen to anybody. They just did what they believed in the mission, never stopped, and there you go.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. It just that's the nature of the business, right? You just show up. If there's anything to take away, just
It's
show
so easy. 80% of it is just showing up every day. I totally agree.
And the other 20% is just go to live comp and then
Yes,
that's
an add to cart, check us out, book a demo.
definitely. So Maxwell, where can people find you and how can they get connected to you?
Check us out at livecom.com. Obviously, that's live with a Y, so LYVECOM.com. Shoot me a text, 201-655-0927, always available. LinkedIn, Twitter, all the socials, Max Live. You guys will
Okay.
find me.
Yeah, and I'm also going to include all that stuff in the description of this episode so people will be able to check it out. But I really like the work you're doing and I wish you nothing but growth and success in your journey. I have a good feeling about LiveCom, so
I appreciate it, man.
I'm excited to see where it can go.
Thank you, man. All about that execution, baby.
And that's
That's what
it.
you gotta do.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course, Maxwell,
Yeah.
great having you on. All the best.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for listening to the Wire to Wire podcast. Be sure to like the video on your way out and subscribe to the channel. You can also check out my books. The link will be in the description. Until next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.